Praise team, thank you very much. Today's sermon is one that I've wanted to preach to you for about 6 weeks now. And weather and circumstance have gotten in the way. It's actually the conclusion of a series that was going before I left on overcomers and how Christ helps us overcome. And today we are going to look at indeed, the greatest overcomer of all, and that is Jesus Christ, what he did and what he did for us. And we're going to look at what he did for us by looking at what I consider to be the most consequential day in all of history, the day of our Lord's resurrection. From Luke chapter 24, beginning with the first verse. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. So that sets the scene for you. Jesus has been crucified. He has been laid in the tomb. And they go on a Sunday morning to prepare his body. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners to be crucified and the third day be raised again." And then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, the disciples, and to all the others. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they didn't believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. And may the Lord add understanding to the reading of his word. Through Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, he overcame everyone's greatest enemies here. Everyone's greatest enemies here were overcome through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And those enemies are sin, Satan, and death. He overcame them powerfully, and he overcame them permanently, and he won that victory for us. That victory is ours. It's part of the wonderful package, if you will, that we receive when we accept Christ. We receive that victory as well over sin and over death and the grave. Ben Patterson tells the story of a primitive tribe in the jungles of East Asia who knew nothing of the gospel and they lived in fear of death. One day, a group of missionaries arrived with the Jesus film, which tells the story of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. This film has been translated into more languages than any other film in history. This tribe had not only never heard the gospel, they'd never seen a movie before. And then one evening, they saw the gospel in their own language. The tribe watched this good man, Jesus Christ, heal the sick, teach multitudes, and perform miracles. And they were enthralled by him. But when Jesus was seized and abused by the Roman soldiers, they were outraged. They stood and they shouted at the screen. And when Jesus continued to suffer, they actually turned on the missionary operating the projector, thinking he was responsible for what was happening to Jesus. Well, the missionary stopped the film and he explained, "The story's not over yet." And so the tribe settled back on the ground and held their emotions in check, and the film started again. But then came the crucifixion. They watched in horror as Jesus was stripped and forced on the cross. They cried in agony as every hammer blow drove the spikes into his hands. They watched as he suffered and died. This was more than the tribesmen could take. They began weeping and wailing to such an extent that the film had to be stopped again. And once more, the missionary calmed the crowd and told them the story's not over yet. And then came the resurrection. They watched as the women came to the tomb and were bewildered as the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. And they saw the two angels saying, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen." And then came the moment when Jesus appeared, and he said, "Peace be with you." And pandemonium erupted. Joy swept over the tribe. They were dancing and singing and celebrating like they just heard the best news in the world, which of course they just had. The missionary again shut off the projector, but this time he didn't tell them to calm down, because they just learned the great truth of the gospel, that by his death and resurrection, Jesus broke the power of death. Would you have shouted and danced if you'd been there? As we go through this sermon, I ask you to keep the resurrection in mind, because it's God's answer to death and his gift to everyone who trusts Christ, every single overcomer. There is a fear of death that has been prevalent. It's been prevalent for all time. And I think that's because there's a fear of the unknown, a fear of what is ahead. And people, because God has planted it within us, people instinctually know that there is a God and that they are not right with that God. God has put that instinct in all of us apart from Christ. Peter Thiel is the billionaire behind PayPal, and he's the first outside investor in Facebook. He intends to live until the age of 120. He told the Washington Post, "I've always had this really strong sense that death was a terrible, terrible thing. But for all his wealth, there's nothing he can do about it. Nothing he can do to avoid it." He takes human growth hormone, even though it comes with a cancer risk, because he wants to avoid death. Larry King, the news commentator, he's arranged to be frozen upon his death, even though he thinks that idea is absurd. He says, "At least I'll die with a shred of hope." He said, "Other people have no hope." Our heart should go out to them, because they are living without any hope. Death is not the end for those who accept Christ as their Savior, because he overcame death. And through him we have the promise of eternal life. But to overcome death, Jesus first had to experience it. His death, which took about 6 hours, was witnessed by thousands of people. He did not just faint. He did not just lapse into a coma. He died. The Roman soldiers confirmed this by inspecting his corpse on the cross. Since Jewish officials could not tolerate crucifixion victims hanging on crosses on the Sabbath, Roman soldiers broke the legs of the crucified to hasten their deaths. This prevented them from pushing themselves up to breathe. But when the soldiers came to Jesus, they didn't break his legs, because they saw he was already dead. Instead, they speared his side. If you had been in Jerusalem that day, you would have seen the Lord's body taken down, wrapped in a shroud, and laid in a tomb. You would have thought, as the disciples did, that this was the end of the story. On a Saturday night in 1998, a young lady named Azita Milanian turned down an invitation to go dancing, and instead went for a jog. And along the way, one of her dogs, Tango, stopped to smell and scratch in the dirt along the trail. Well, she saw her dog doing that and went to investigate, and saw two little feet poking out of the ground. At first, she thought it was an animal. And then she heard the cry of an infant. Milanian started digging, and she found a baby wrapped in a blue towel. Lifting him up, she cleared dirt from his nose and mouth. "Please don't die," she said. "I'll never leave you. I love you." And she flagged down a passing motorist who contacted the police. She tried to comfort the baby while she waited. Azita said, "He grabbed my wrist and he stopped crying. It was very emotional. He still had the umbilical cord attached to his belly. The baby's temperature had dropped to 80 degrees, and he was treated for severe hypothermia. But in time, he made a remarkable recovery. Nurses named him Baby Christian. In time, he was adopted. His parents named him Matthew Christian Whitaker. When he was 17, he found out that he'd been adopted, and he was told the story of how he was found. But he maintained remarkable feelings of peace and forgiveness about what had happened to him. Well, 20 years after she found baby Christian, which I think would have been just been about a year ago, Melanian and Whitaker were tearfully and joyfully reunited. They shared the stories of their lives since that day. And then Melanian took Whitaker to the hiking trail where she'd found him. Growing very quiet and serious, the young man stared through a chain-link fence at the spot where he'd been found. Finally, he said, "This could have been my grave." To which his rescuer replied, "You were wanted. You were wanted." Christian, I do not know where your grave will be. I don't even know where my grave will be. But know this, that spot will not be your final resting place, because you're wanted. You're wanted. That's why he came, because you're wanted. And that's why he died, because you're wanted. And that's why he was raised, because you're wanted. Jesus will not leave you. He will not leave you in your addictions. He will not leave you in your depression. He will not leave you in your low self-esteem if you think nobody wants you. Jesus himself said, "You're wanted. I want you." Now, I'm not going to go through the evidence this morning of the resurrection of Jesus. Save that for a future date, maybe Easter, who knows. Suffice it to say, it's overwhelming. I have numerous accounts of people who deliberately set out to disprove the resurrection of Jesus, only to be convinced by the evidence and become Christians. Hundreds, if not thousands, of witnesses saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead. There are hundreds, at minimum hundreds, of eyewitnesses to Christ being raised from the dead. So what does his death mean? Is it simply, let's say you accept the fact of Christ's resurrection, you accept it. What does that mean? It happened 2,000 years ago. What does it mean to you today? Well, let me share a few examples. Because he is risen, we can live a forgiven life. Before his death, Jesus watched his disciples stumble from one mistake to another, ending in their desertion and denial of him. But all their failures were swallowed up in the empty tomb of the Lord. Take Thomas, for example. He messed up and walked away in unbelief. But if he had not done that, we would not have had his triumphant exclamation the next week, where he looked at Christ, the risen Christ, and he said, "My Lord and my God." And John used those words as the climactic moment of his gospel. Because Jesus can turn our failures into victories. In a couple of places in the Old Testament, you have the phrase, "God turned the curse into a blessing." If something seems like a curse in your life, don't just sit down and sit back under it and curse your luck. No, subject it to the light of the empty tomb. Give it to the risen Christ. Do you have a memory? A regret that haunts you? Something that you'd do anything to turn back the clock to correct? You don't have to do that. Because of the resurrection, the Lord can work out all things for our good and his glory. He redeems even our mistakes. The life of every Christ follower, the life of every Christian here, is a miracle. But that miracle of our new birth flows out of the greater miracle of the resurrection of the Lord. Because he is risen, you can live a meaningful life. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Because of the resurrection, what you do for the Lord is not in vain. God takes our feeble efforts and infuses it with power. In his book, which is titled Just for a Moment, I Saw the Light, writer John Duckworth describes a Sunday when he was only 3 years old, and his dad took him to Mrs. Loeffler's Sunday school class at the First Presbyterian Church in Flushing, New York. Little John did not want to go, but he was drugged to the class, kicking and screaming. His dad pulled him into the class. Little John kept crying and carrying on. And finally, Mrs. Loeffler suggested that dad stay in the back of the class where his son could see him and be calm. And so that's what he did, and eventually the boy calmed down. Well, Mrs. Loeffler set up her flannel graph board and told that week's Bible story. Little John listened with interest. So did his dad in back, an agnostic who came only because his wife had badgered him into it. And that routine went on for a while. The father would bring John to the class and remain in back. Both were listening to gospel presentations in a three-year-old class. And finally, after a while, both father and son accepted Christ. Dad told Mrs. Loeffler this story right before he and his family left the church to move to his first pastorate. God used a woman powerfully who just signed up to teach the three-year-old class. She could not have imagined what God would do when she signed up. God used her in that way beyond anything she could have imagined. And God will do that in your life as well. Because he is risen, you can live a powerful life. His resurrection was a display of unimaginable power, and that same exact power is available in our lives. Ephesians 1, beginning with verse 18, says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. To reverse the process of death is a hard thing. How often I have stood by the casket of a friend or a loved one and wished I could raise them from the dead. To bring Christ back from death. To resurrect his body from the grave. To open deceased eyes, to transform a dead body into ageless life. Only an omnipotent God can do that. And that same power that brought Jesus back to life is available to us when we place our trust in him. Same power. That power changes our lives, answers our prayers, resolves our difficulties, and guides us through life. How grieved the Lord must feel when he sees us defeated all the time, feeling sorry for ourselves and wallowing in our sinful habits. Listen, because he has been risen, we can live a powerful life. We are meant to be changed by the life-giving power of Christ. Church, we have work to do. We have assignments to undertake, whether it's teaching three-year-olds or visiting the sick or pursuing our careers as unto the Lord. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Right now, you can go from death to life. Right now, you can go from defeat to victory. Right now, you can toss off through the power of Christ sins that have kept you bound for most of your life. You can go from a life of fear and uncertainty to a life of certainty of eternal life. At this point, I'm going to ask everybody, if you would, please bow your heads and close your eyes. If you need the life-changing power of the Lord to have a relationship with him for the first time, or to bring his power to bear on something that is going on in your lives, I'm going to offer up a prayer which I urge you to make your own in your heart where you sit. And if you want to pray this prayer, I urge you to pray it out loud, repeating after me, and say it in your heart as well. Dear Lord, I believe you love me and have a plan for my life. I realize I have neglected you, disobeyed you, and have been separated from you by my sins. With your help and by your grace, I'm willing to turn from my sins and receive Christ as my Savior. I believe he died for me, and I believe he rose again. Here and now, I receive your overcoming grace and your overwhelming power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. May I live for you from this day and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer from your heart, you have new life and new power to receive the overcoming life. Tell someone what you prayed. Tell me. Tell Mike Brake. We will give you some materials that will help you get started in the right direction. The same overwhelming, overcoming power that raised Christ from 3 days dead is available to each and every one of us when we turn to him now. If our worship leaders will come forward at this time. If you prayed that prayer in your heart and would like to spend some time at the altar, and perhaps have someone pray with you, the altar is open and the invitation is given. If you desire a new life in Christ, today is the day. If you have issues and circumstances in your life that are hurting you and weighing you down, appropriate by praying that prayer the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And you will emerge from this place victorious today. And so the altar is open and the invitation is given. Come, believe, receive, and turn your life over to the one who loves you so.